come to church.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you made it. Hallelujah. It's a nice little song. Like it says, it's no secret what God will do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. You know, it is no secret what God will do. What is done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll answer you. It is no secret what God will do. Let's do it again. It is no secret what God will do. What is done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll answer you. It is no secret what God will do. One more time. It is no secret, it is no secret what God will do. What is done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll answer you. It is no secret what God will do. So indeed, we thank you, Lord, that you are that God who doesn't change. We know that what you've done for anyone, anywhere, you will do for us. Thank you for tonight's School of Miracles. Thank you for those who are online. Thank you for those of us who are here. Thank you for those who will even watch or listen later on. Thank you, Lord, because you will speak to us. You will encourage us. You will heal us. You will strengthen us. You will do that which only you can do in the name of Jesus. But ultimately, we know that we will not be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 3. And I have just a few minutes. But as I kept thinking, you know, and praying about this meeting, the phrase that kept jumping at me was times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. And I knew where that was coming from. And to get to it, we're going to have to read 19 verses. So to get to one verse, amen. So we'll read 19 verses to get to one verse and actually to get to one phrase. But I believe that God had been laying on my heart for tonight's meeting. And that phrase is times of refreshing. It's just like God, you know, to say the things that are not like what you are seeing or like what you are experiencing. You know, it's just like God to not consider your circumstances. I know that these are challenging times, these are difficult times. But God says that these are times of refreshing. Can I have an amen? And God says that you and I can have times of refreshing. Hallelujah. You know, when he was speaking to them and he said that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, I think Jeremiah 29:11, thoughts of good and not of evil to give you a hope and a future. The children of Israel were actually in captivity. So things were dark, the darkest they could be. And yet when God was going to speak to them, he didn't say, Kai, your life is a mess. Kai, you see yourself now. You know, what God said to them was, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you a hope and a future. So God was telling them that there is brightness ahead of you. God was telling them there is greatness ahead of you. God was telling them good things are coming and they are ahead of you, but they were in captivity. Hallelujah. But one of the things that God does with his words is that he brings us encouragement, he brings us strength, he brings us faith. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. And that's why I said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One translation says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is from God's word. So faith comes not just because I heard it, or because I read a scripture or two, or a chapter or two of the Bible. Faith comes because I got the message that that scripture was trying to pass across to me. Can I have an amen? Faith comes because I actually heard God out of that verse. I actually heard him say something out of that verse or out of that chapter that I read, and that's where the faith is born. So Acts chapter 3, because of our time, it says from verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, which is the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of a temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, now as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ will suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore, verse 19, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So no need to go all over that story, but the statement or the phrase times of refreshing was coming out of Peter's preaching when the people were amazed at what God had done. And then Peter said to them, if only you will repent, if only you will turn from your ways and turn to God, then one of the things is that God will blot away your sins. Your sins will be blotted out. That's one benefit of turning to God. That's what he was saying to them. That one benefit of turning to God is that your sins are blotted out. He said, but it does not stop there. He said, there are times of refreshing that will come from the presence of the Lord. He was saying to them that there are benefits when you turn to God and you walk with God. One is that your sins are blotted out, but two is that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. One says that times of refreshing stream from the presence of the Lord. You know what you mean when you are live streaming? You know, and you're live streaming, and I was live streaming for the past how many weeks, and you'll be on, and I'm live streaming, and as you are speaking it, it's flowing towards me. As you are moving, I'm seeing the movement towards me. So I was live streaming it, and so what Peter is saying that is that once you turn to God, and you turn your life over to God, he said, not only do I have my sins blotted out or forgiven, as we like to put it, he said, actually, there are times of refreshing that begin to live stream from the presence of God. That word refreshing means revival. Times of revival. Times of restoration. Times of revitalization will come streaming from the presence of the Lord. Let me read it in the Amplified. The Amplified version says that, so repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God so that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. But times of refreshing, that is times of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we're talking about how things are, you know, at the current moment, the climate, the socioeconomic climate at the current moment, and we're talking about the challenges, the difficulties. But we concluded, and we said, but thank God that we have God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We said, thank God we have God. And we said, we wonder how anybody survives without God. We wonder how anybody copes without God. What were we talking about? We're talking about the times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. We're saying that despite the heat out there, despite the challenges out there, despite the things that seem like it sucks the air out of you out there, we seem to have a presence of God. We seem to have a way of getting revived. We seem to have a way of stepping into God's presence, and it stirs up something in us, and it brings a freshness into us, and we are able to withstand, and not just withstand, but we are able to flourish even in the midst of the heat. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? But and it says that time, the times of revival, of refreshing, come from the presence of the Lord. So there's a secret power of the believer, which is the presence of God. In fact, the way I think about it is that it means that ultimately for you and I as children of God, the ultimate thing we need to hang on to is that tangible presence of God. We need to walk conscious of it. We need to believe it. We need to expect it to bring us revival. We need to expect it to bring us strength where there's no strength. We need to expect it to bring us hope where there's no hope. We need to expect it to give us the long suffering and the power to stay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, that's why he was talking about you'll be strengthened by his spirit in your inner man. There's something about that presence of God that releases times or seasons of refreshing towards you. Are you still with me? So the secret of a believer, therefore, is that presence of God with him. The beautiful thing about it, though, of course we know, is that God says that I'm with you. Okay? Let's read a scripture also. Let's read something. You know, so no matter the challenges we face, go to Psalm 114. Psalm 114. Psalm 114. That's one of the things that I like to think about, and that is that we need to practice the presence of God. Some will say we need to stay conscious of the presence of God. We need to be in a state where the presence of God is more real to us than the things around us. We need to consistently, our ambition, our drive, our hope, our vision should be that we are ever conscious of the presence of God. Is that that presence of God becomes more real to us with every passing day. Because that ensures our strength. That ensures that there is a streaming of refreshing from his presence. Now, if you look at it in context, we're still coming to Psalm 114. If you look at it in context, and you look at, I mean, in context meaning that we look at why Peter spoke about it, it was the healing of a man who had been lame from birth. So it was a condition that was incurable. It was a condition where the man had had it since birth. Nothing could be done, otherwise something would have been done. This was now a full-grown guy who they would place by the beautiful gate every day, but the case was hopeless as it were. So it means that, and yet with the presence of God, because when they asked Peter, after he was raised and he could walk, I mean, the Bible says he was walking, leaping, and praising God, they said, they asked him, and Peter said, why are you surprised?
He said, why are you surprised as if it's by our own power or holiness that this man is walking? He's saying, basically, what's making this to happen is that presence of God. So remember the context of it. It means that that presence of God will revitalize everything around us, including bring us healing where we need it. Are you with me? You know, I think it was very interesting. I'm still coming to Psalm 140. Was it last year? I think it was last year. Last year I was in the UK, also about summer, and my daughter was playing with me and said, oh, daddy, why don't you just grow your hair? You know, because I always tell them, I said, I have gorimapa. I said, but my gorimapa is not genetical. It's self-inflicted gorimapa that I have. I cut my hair so often. I said, that's why it is so. I said, my hair, actually, I'm very hairy. I said, so I can grow my hair very quickly. And she was like, grow your hair. Grow everything. Don't even shave. Then I think it will fit you. Daddy, just do it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be here a few weeks. I will suffer it, you know. So and so I decided to grow it a bit. I grew my teddy and whatnot. And then it was all white, because part of why I don't grow the hair is that it itches me. Now, so I said, look, those are the reasons why I don't do it. But I thought, okay, yeah, I'll manage, you know. And then I began to grow it. And then the teddy was growing, and there was a lot of white, you know, and it was growing. So I decided I was going to dye it. And I bought a dye. You know, I dyed my hair before when I had still kept hair a little bit. And then I dyed my hair. But when I put the dye there, in fact, on a Saturday, I put it on a Saturday morning. Saturday evening, somebody came, took me out somewhere. But now, thinking back, if I was asking him recently, I said, did you realize that my face was swollen? And he was like, no, I didn't realize it. Because it was very strange. It took me to a meeting, and I was very uncomfortable. And by the time I was leaving, you know, I was uncomfortable, and it looked like my skin was oozing oil. And by the time I was about to leave, went to the bathroom. I looked in the bathroom. My face had changed completely. It was swollen. I didn't look like myself. And I kept thinking to myself, but nobody said anything except the person who was seeing me off. When I came out and I said, seems my face. So he said he was wondering that I look strange, that there's something wrong, because, I mean, I'm on the board of the organization here. He said, I was wondering that you look strange. I said, I don't know what it is, but I think there's something that's affecting my face. By the next day we were leaving church, I mean, I left church to go to a pharmacy to say, look, something is really wrong. I need something to put there. My face was swollen. I have pictures. I will show you. It was horrible. You know, I was beginning to look like Frankenstein. And I had to put that, and then nothing. I was irritation, swelling, and I went on to read about it, and I saw that there were some dyes that contain certain things that some people react to, and it says you may never stop reacting to those things, and that thing can continue. I did everything, used every drug I could think of. I wasn't suited. You know, so I had to believe God to get my face back to normal. You know, I'm saying that about the presence of the Lord. But it's, and maybe you will understand by the time we're done, but saying that the presence of the Lord, the you're going in, and the presence of God is with us. I'm still going to talk about that. But it's with us. The fact that you become conscious of that presence, that's faith in that presence. Faith in the fact that it is with you and is in you makes a difference. That's what Romans 8:11 is talking about. That he, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body. There was nothing I knew to do. There was nothing the pharmacist could tell me to do. There was nothing they gave me that was working. I just had to believe God, and everything started coming down by itself. In fact, also somewhere just before that time, I think, I had a tag on my eye like this. There's some swelling around here. And I just had to believe God. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that it's in just pressing into God's presence that everything began to go by itself, little by little, until it's gone. And until I can only tell it to you as a story and have my pictures as a proof that this is what happened to me, this is what I went through. And I read it, and it says, no, that this thing, you'll probably just be dealing with it forever. You keep having these reactions and all of that, but today I don't have those reactions. Why? Because times of refreshing, times of reviving will always keep streaming from the presence of the Lord. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that whatever you do to get God's presence to be real to you and to be functionally operational in your life will always make a difference. Even if you don't immediately know so. Are you still there? Let's read Psalm 114. You'll still understand me a little better. But because of time, Psalm 114. Psalm 114 says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became a sanctuary and Israel is dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. What hails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back. Do you remember all those stories from the Old Testament? He said, O mountains that you skipped like rams. O little hills like lambs. Tremble, O heart. What is it? At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Now, very quickly, the good news is that we have that presence of the Lord. That's the good news. And that's why he says that it will keep streaming from that presence. But hear me clearly. We will have to have faith in that presence of the Lord. We'll have to have faith in the presence of God with us. First of all, with us personally. He said in Matthew chapter 28:19, go and preach the gospel to all nations and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, and of course, the people that believe will be saved. He said, and lo! Lo means look very well. Lo means be very aware. Lo means take good note of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I like the amplified version of that. He said, I'm with you perpetually and uniformly on every occasion. I'm with you on every equation perpetually, that is forever, and uniformly to the same extent. Are you with me? But presence, so it says is with us. But what do I do to activate my consciousness of God's presence? That's what makes the difference between brother Christian and sister Christiana. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not the fact that God is with one person, he's not with the other person. No, he's with us. But what makes the difference is that somebody walks conscious of that presence and the benefits and the impact of the presence of God with him, another person walks recklessly, carelessly, ignorantly of the fact that there is a presence of God that makes a difference with them. Are you still there? He said, he that dwells, Psalm 91, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's no shadow without a presence. So when he says you abide under the shadow, it means that you abide under the presence. There's no shadow without a presence nearby. Are you still there? And so you dwell in the secret place. Jesus began to talk and expatiate about secret place in Matthew chapter 16. When you want to pray, go into the secret place and go into your closet and begin to pray. So he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the person who cherishes time spent with God, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty and will enjoy the streaming of God's refreshing. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And so you will know the difference. Remember Luke chapter 18, Jesus was speaking about it also. He said, he told them a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to give up or not to lose heart. The people that faint, give up, or lose heart are the people that don't have the times of refreshing streaming from the presence of God, and that means they do not spend time with God as they should. I've discovered that it's not what we are confronted with. So he was saying, why do the mountains skip like rams? Why is Jordan fleeing away? So it's not what we are confronted with. It's our consciousness. It's our faith in the presence of God with us that makes the difference. That's what makes you strong in the midst of the storms. So if you are not, so my thinking, the way I think is this. If I begin to get stressed out, worried and all of that, I tell myself, I've not been doing what I should. I've not been spending time with God as I should. It's not the situation that I'm faced with that's the issue. The issue is that I have not been where I should be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, he said, you will keep him in power. perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect means undisturbable peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. Whose mind, that word means imagination. The person whose whole imagination is about God. Is about that great God. Is about that big God. Is about what God can do and what God is doing. He said that kind of person has undisturbable peace. Are you still there? So whatever you do, do it to stay conscious of his presence. If we said that his prayer helps me to be conscious of his presence, then I should pray as much as I can. And I should pray all of the time. Because he said, he that abides in the secret place. Abide means to dwell there. It means that I'm always praying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he was talking about it. He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Paul was speaking and he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. So we ought to push ourselves. Why? Because we want to push ourselves to the place where we stay conscious of the presence of the Lord because times of refreshing stream from his presence. Are you with me? If I have to fast, I'll fast. Why? So that I become more conscious of his presence. They were asking Jesus in Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 9, I think, and Luke chapter 5, same thing. They were asking him, and they said, look, why do, everybody's disciples are fasting? But your own disciples, they chop. They say, Amala, they work. Pounded yam follows, they work. Then jollof rice will follow, they work. They say, how come they are working, and everybody's disciples fast? And Jesus said, look, the friends of the bridegroom will not fast when the bridegroom is with them. They said, but when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast in those days. That's what Mark chapter 2 verse 20. He said, when you take away the bridegroom, they will start fasting. He said, right now they are seeing me. I'm here with them. They are my presence is real. They don't need imagination. They don't need thinking. They don't need to do much. They can see me every day. They wake up, they greet me, they shake my hand. He said, so when the bridegroom is there, they don't need to fast. He said, but when the bridegroom is taken away, they will fast. Then they will fast in those days. Why are they fasting then in those days? So that they can make his presence as real as when he was there physically with them. Are you with me? So whatever you do it. If you must fast, you fast so that that presence of God is real. When you feel that it's waiting in your consciousness that God is with you, then you call yourself to a fast. So I need to fast. What are you fasting for? What's your problem? None. I just want to fellowship with God. I just want God to be more real to me. That's all. But when I do, times of refreshing will stream from his presence. Are you there? Of course, secondly, as I close, his presence becomes more real. Because sometimes you're also trying on your own, but it doesn't work. But one of the things that works is corporate fellowship. It's when we come together, the presence of God becomes more real than when you're on your own, sometimes in your room. You can make his presence that real by yourself, but sometimes just being with other people in the name of the Lord makes that presence more real. Jesus was speaking about that in Matthew chapter 18. And he said, where two or three are gathered in my name. He said, there am I in the midst of them. Now, the issue with that is this. Theologically and factually, we know that God is everywhere. So when he says, there am I in the midst of them, he's saying, I am manifestly present. I am tangibly present in the midst of them. So when they gather in my name, I become more tangibly present in their midst. So God's presence becomes more real when we come together like this. Are you with me? It's one good reason to go to church. Many years ago, I remember we were preparing for an exam, medical school. And they had just brought out something, a list. I was to be disqualified and with several many other people disqualified from writing the exam on a Monday. The exam was to be a Monday. We had fellowship on Friday evening. And I was just in a state, you can imagine. They released the list on Friday evening so that there's no way anybody can do anything about it, you understand? So they brought out the list Friday evening. Exam starts 8 a.m. on Monday. So it's only Saturday and Sunday in between. You can't do much. You can't talk to anybody. There's nobody in the office. And I saw the list. I mean, my heart broke. I was weak. I was everything. But I went to fellowship. And as I sat in fellowship, I don't even remember who was talking anymore that day. I mean, I was the preacher, but somebody was sharing a testimony. And the person made a statement and talked about God parting the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, I was revived. All of a sudden, I was revitalized. All of a sudden, times of refreshing. All of a sudden, refreshing, live streamed at me. And I mean, nothing had changed. But all of a sudden, I was fine. I was okay. We're talking about the supernatural presence of God and what it releases towards us. We finished, I mean, me that I was heartbroken, I was down, and I got back to the room. I was ready to read. I was preparing for it. Nothing had changed. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know who I was going to talk to, but I was totally fine. And I said, God will part the Red Sea. Hallelujah. I got ready, read all through the weekend. Me, I didn't have any strength to read before. I was so down inside of me, but now I was ready. I read through the weekend and all of that. Monday morning, I got dressed. I walked up to the exam hall. I entered the exam hall. I sat down. They started the exam. I wrote the exam. We all wrote the exam. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nobody came. Nobody stopped us from writing anything. And then I didn't know what happened, but I just knew nothing happened. And it took years later, I was with somebody who was a classmate, and when I was talking to him and I was sharing that testimony with him, and he said, ah, no wonder, you were one of them. Ah, I said, no wonder. I said, no wonder what? He said, no wonder they couldn't stop people from writing the exam. He said, so if you were there, that's why they couldn't stop them. He said, one very senior professor, who was not usually around, came around. And the man saw the long list of names. And he said, if you said all these people did wrong, he said, something is wrong with your department, not these students. He said, it can't be the students. If this number of students are to be disqualified, it's not the students, it's your department that has a problem. He said, and the man withdrew, went to the administrative block of the college and withdrew the list. Pulled it out and said, nonsense. No, they are not disqualified. Glory! Hallelujah. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I remember, I mean, as I close, I was speaking, I think it was anniversary service, if I'm right, in Ibadan. And prayed for people, blah, blah, blah. And I was about to close. And one of the elderly women who had a stroke, you know, came, you know, holding her crutches. And interrupted me, you know, hey, pastor, you pray for me. So I said, please. I was praying for sinners, you know, leading people in the sinner's prayer. So I said, please, what I'm doing is very important. Don't interrupt me. I said, I'll come back to you. So I finished that, and I went to her. It's the only time I've been interrupted before. You know, and I went to her and laid hands upon her. She fell under God's power. And, you know, a few seconds. And then she tried to get up, and they quickly tried to give her the crutches. And I said, no, she doesn't need it anymore. And she got up, and she began to run around the church. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You can have it on your own. You can have it in company with God's people. Psalm 133 talks about when the people gather together in unity. He said it's like the dew that flows down. It's like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron. So there's an oil, there's a presence, there's an unction that begins to flow when the believers gather together in unity. Hallelujah. What have I said to you tonight? Expect times of refreshing, which in the original Greek means times of revival, times of refreshing, times of revitalization to stream from God's presence towards you. And your goal in life should be that you walk conscious of the presence of God, and therefore you will walk under that stream of refreshing that comes from the presence of God. Let's stand on our feet.
I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one who compares with you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. I will come. I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy. There is nothing. Just wait 2 minutes. I believe the times of refreshing, this is one of them, where there's a stream of refreshing, of reviving, of freshness coming from the presence of God. Even for those who are online, I believe that that presence begins to flow even now. Disappear. Those who are just weighed down and discouraged, you feel that weight lifting off you. And for some, it's just the presence that brings joy. I was praying with some people years ago, standing in a garden, and as we held hands, they just fell out under God's power. And I stood there praying and waiting for them. When they got up, I said, What is that? They said, look, we can't describe it to you. It was just joy and refreshing. Thank you, Lord. The weary are strengthened. feel that presence. I feel that presence becoming heavy in this place. Thank you, Lord. Yokes destroyed, burdens lifted. God bringing back something to somebody. It's like something that you have believed God for, but you've let go of it. And God's bringing it back to you now. And he's saying to you, basically, that dream, that hope, that wish, you don't need to drop it. He's saying it's possible, and I'm still on it. Don't switch off your faith. Still on it. If you don't switch off your faith, you will have it. You will see it. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your tangible presence here tonight. Is anybody sick in their body? You need hands laid upon you. Every sickness, every disease, I command you be made every bit whole, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Don't touch people until they're falling. You break the fall. You don't hold them up. Still coming strong on her. Still coming strong on her. Just break her fall. Don't try to hold her or break her fall and lay her down. Wow. Not by now we know how to do that in this church. Madam, do you need prayer or you are?
You are gone. It's going to close the service.
Father, thank you. Is it that? Put your hand there. Put one hand there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, yeah, that's it. Just flowed right through you. Just went right through you. Thank you, Lord, because that power flows right into our seals up the ulcers. Now, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Just went right through you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Increase that voltage threefold. Yeah, just became stronger now. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Just became stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah, thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Increase that voltage. Thank you for increasing that voltage. Thank you because it seals up every ulcer. Every pain goes instantly, 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 instantly. Says it will have no impact no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They will have none. It's wiping those memories. Wiping those memories. Wiping those memories. Wiping those memories. So that the joy of the Lord, the hope, the enthusiasm that comes from the presence of the Lord and the visions from God can completely fill your heart and mind. And those memories will be a thing of the past. Makala Boshta Brahane, Sekele Brusta Feledishta Brahane, Lekesto Bradishta. Let's begin to give him praise tonight. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. He's good. His presence is good. Such joy to be in his presence. We are most grateful, Lord. Thank you for the things you do. Thank you for the times of refreshing. Thank you for the times of refreshing. You'll have to learn to laugh. Laugh, laugh, and laugh in the spirit. And know that the Lord has gone ahead of you. The mountains will skip like rams. The seas will part. And it's not you, it's just the presence of the Lord with you. It's just the presence of the Lord with you. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you. We are most grateful. Thank you even for those online. Thank you for healing, deliverance. Thank you for rescuing. Because the word is, states clearly that to God our Lord belongs escapes from death. Thank you for escapes from death. Death has lost its grip. We declare that the grip of darkness is broken. We have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory.